Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Magic Drive Time podcast, the summer edition. The NBA offseason rolls along, and while the NBA finals are still going on, it is the offseason for the Orlando Magic. Big week out, or big week. A bunch of guys in for pre-draft workouts as we get set for the June 21st NBA draft. Today, I am joined alongside by my good offseason buddy, my good cohort, the guy from OrlandoMagic.com. His name is Dan Savage, and Dan, the beard is coming in great. It looks fantastic. Looks like you're actually filling in some of those little extra spots there.
You know, it's an off-season beard, and it's a draft beard, so I will not shave this beard. I'll fill in all the gaps until we get that draft pick on my birthday, June 21st.
Now, you're a big hockey guy, and a lot of times in the postseason, hockey players will grow beards out because they perceive it a good luck charm. It's superstition. Are you growing your beard out in hopes that throughout the course of the NBA offseason, it'll lead to the absolute best Orlando Magic draft pick?
Well, I can't tell you because then it won't come to fruition. So read into that as you may.
Okay, let's get down to the nuts and bolts of what we're here to talk about. And believe it or not, this is a traveling podcast. We've done this podcast the last three times in three different spots. It started out in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. It was at Amway Center the last time. Today, we're actually in RDV in the gym because we wanted a little bit of ambiance, a little bit of feel of what these pre-draft workouts are about. Now, the Amway Center practice gym is a little restricted, so we weren't able to get in there, but we wanted the vibe of what these players are going through. And this past week, the Magic have scheduled some pre-draft workouts. Kevin Knox was in earlier this week. Today is Trae Young Day. So that's what we're going to talk about, what these pre-draft workouts are like, what is the purpose of them, what are some of the things that these players are asked to do during this process? Because while guys will come and go, they may not be the ultimate pick. And the Magic will have six, they will have 35, and they will have 41. So it is more than just the Trae Youngs of the world. It's an evaluation process. But let's talk about why these pre-draft workouts happen and how they are scheduled. And let's talk, and first off, start off with Trae Young, who we talked to today. And I was really impressed with some of the things that he had to say.
Now, Trey's an impressive kid. We had the chance to talk to him both in Chicago and now once again here in Orlando, and he didn't disappoint either time. He comes in with a chip on his shoulder. He has a lot to prove. He personally believes he could be one of the best players, if not the best player, in this draft class. So with a lot of the mock drafts ranging him from picks six here in Orlando all the way, I've seen it, to about 10, he feels like he has something to prove, and he's not shying away from the fact. One of the things I liked most about his interview today is he was asked about his defense, and he said, "I left room for questioning there. That's one of the things I want to work on." And I really like that because he could have gone with a number of excuses. Look, I had to carry the offensive load. Maybe the scheme wasn't the best for me, etc. But Trae really took ownership of it, and he wants to get better at it, and he knows he's going to be challenged at the next level. So I really liked his answers there.
That was kind of the thing. Like, they have an idea of what they're going to be asked going into these media sessions. They know, like, the ultimate thing is, what do you think about Orlando? What are some of the things that you worked on today? Who are the teams that you're working out? Those are the normal questions that you're going to hear. But the fact that he addressed his weaknesses, and he did not shy away from them, that's something that I think as an NBA front office, you're trying to figure out what type of character this guy has and what kind of confidence he has in himself. And that was the thing I took away from his media session today, just how much confidence he has in what he's done and ultimately what he thinks his ceiling is as a player.
Yeah, everybody knows that Trae Young can score the basketball. That's no secret. He had to beat double teams, triple teams at times while playing at the collegiate level. What's going to see if he could translate at the next level is how efficient is he going to be, how will he distribute the basketball, and at the same time, how is he going to hold up at the defensive end. So those are the things that I'm sure they're going to test him on, as well as a variety of personality traits. There's all kinds of different psychological tests that these guys go through, mind games that are played, whether it be here in Orlando or with other teams and franchises. So it's really an interesting process. And you never really know why a guy is being made available or is he brought in. Sometimes it's because they have genuine interest in the player.
And sometimes it's a smokescreen.
And sometimes it's a smokescreen. So from a media perspective, you never really know until the draft shakes out and that player is available along with the other guys working out who the team liked best and why they were brought in.
I will say this, you know, we were in Chicago almost a month ago and we were talking to these guys for the first time and got to meet them and introduce ourselves. The one-on-ones that you get with these pre-draft workouts, you learn a little bit more about the individual, but you also kind of see more of their personality. And I thought we saw that both with Kevin Knox, and I thought we saw it with Trey today. We'll see it with Anthony Simmons or Simons later in the week. But from a personality standpoint, from both of these guys, what did you take away from Kevin Knox, who was a Tampa kid who grew up in the area, and now from Trey Young, a guy who is projected to go anywhere from high lottery to late lottery?
From both of these kids, what I've seen is they both would like to be in Orlando, and that's one of the things you really want to gauge as you're a front office here. They gave the right answers, that's part of it, but there were a little bit of extracurriculars with both of them. If you follow Trey Young on Instagram, you saw his story, which came out a few hours ago, where you know he was almost giving, whether you want to say he's blessed or praying, and showing the Amway Center locker room floor. That's going a little bit above and beyond. When you look at the answers that Kevin Knox gave, talking about playing so close to home, being part of this community, having his family come out to games, both these guys are ready for the challenge here. It's funny, we talked to Jonathan Isaac yesterday, and you know Trey mentioned it today, and Kevin Knox back on Tuesday. They both are familiar with Isaac, friendly with him. So it's really interesting. You could start to see if either of these two guys were here, there's already some relationships developed, and that's really interesting to me.
I was going to say, that's another talking point that when you bring in these guys from college, you know, a lot of these guys don't go to the same university, but they do have backgrounds with each other from the AAU circuit to their high school days to some of the all-star games that they attend as high schoolers. How much of that, when you're John Hammond or you're Jeff Weltman and you're analyzing a player's personality and how they fit into the overall construction of your roster, how much does that play out into ultimately the guy that you select, the familiarity that they have with some of the players on your roster?
Well, it's hard to say how weighted that becomes, but definitely if you're Jeff Weltman, Jonathan Isaac, or I'm sorry, Jeff Weltman, John Hammond.
They all flow together.
You're reaching out to Jonathan Isaac, and by the way, he has been in attendance for both of these workouts, to figure out what his thoughts are, these guys. How would they potentially be his teammates? We know that these guys go to extreme depths. We've heard stories of them interviewing lunchroom ladies in their eighth grade, you know, classrooms, etc. So, you know, at the very least, you're talking to Jonathan Isaac and finding out what has he heard about these guys? How are they as teammates? You know, how are they behind the scenes when the cameras aren't on and they know they're not being interviewed? And that's what's a real resource when these guys have gone through the AAU circuit, is you know these players have seen them as true people and not just the show or the charade that's being presented through some of these things.
You know, the crazy thing, and we thought about this last year, everybody thinks that if you have a guy in for a workout, that's someone you're targeting. That is not the case in point at all. When you look back to what the Magic did last year with their sixth pick in the NBA draft when they selected Jonathan Isaac, Jonathan Isaac didn't work out for the Orlando Magic. What they did know about him was his personality and what he did at Florida State because he was very close. So that's another thing. When you're talking about smoke screens earlier in this show, that's how you can't put a lot of cadence, you can't put a lot of investment in these workouts because ultimately it's going to come down to who's top of their board. It doesn't even matter if they work out for you.
No, and like we said, there could be a number of different reasons. One, there could be something specific you're trying to find out. You want to gain more information. Two, maybe he's a kid you didn't see enough of at the collegiate level and you want to schedule more time there. Three, could be a smokescreen, just like you said. And then four, it could be a guy that you're considering, but not at the draft position you currently sit at. So it could be a guy that, hey, if we trade up, this may be a guy that we're targeting. Or it could be a guy, if we slide back, we're potentially targeting. And then in some of the cases of some of these other guys, like Kevin Knox, there were a bunch of other guys working out with him that weren't made public. He was versus Trey Young, who is solo. With some of these other guys, you're looking, how are we going to fill out our summer league squad? How would they fit into what we do there? Are these guys we want to take a look at and may consider future down the line after they spend some time overseas? Or are these guys we're going to consider with our late second round picks, et cetera? So there's a lot that goes into it. Not every guy that is brought in is being considered for the number six overall pick. It's just a draft philosophy of getting information and filling in all the gaps with all these players.
What is the difference when a guy comes in and he works out with multiple players, guys that are supposed to go in the NBA draft, as opposed to a guy that comes in on a one-on-one workout? What are some of the different things that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond are trying to gauge there?
Well, a lot of that's agent-driven. So some players want to have specific things and do specific things in the way that they want to do them. In other cases, players who are really trying to improve their stock are like, look, I'm here, I'll do whatever you want. So it's really a case-by-case basis. What you're trying to figure out is really also on a case-by-case basis. If there's things you have question marks about Trey Young, you want to look at and see, let's take a look at it in our system. See, would this translate well? Is he able to do these things that we don't think he might be able to do? And get a look at it there. Is it something we could teach, improve on? So those are the kind of things. You know, if you're looking at a Kevin Knox, is he going to be able to stretch the floor at the next level? How will he hold up? You know, is his body going to translate? So all those things are different on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, in some cases, if it's a player, you know, DeAndre Ayton could probably, as he's getting told, he could potentially be a number one overall pick. He may have more control than a guy, let's say, who's being brought in here like Joel Berry, who is being projected in the later part of the draft or potentially undrafted, won't be able to say.
I was going to say, you mentioned the agent factor of the draft board and how that affects where guys ultimately go. How much harder does that make it for John Hammond and Jeff Weltman when you're trying to evaluate a guy because agents are picking and choosing where their guys work out? How much harder does that make this process for them? Because ultimately you draft a guy, he's going to sign. It's just a matter of how much you get to interact with that player, how much you get to see them beforehand. Because I think more so than ever, the NBA draft, it's harder. You get to see other games on TV and your scouting is done way beforehand. But to have that ability to come in, to talk to them, to see them firsthand, that makes it more difficult if you don't get to see a guy.
No, definitely. And that's why you just touched on it right there. This process is just the icing on the cake. The real process was done throughout the course of the year as they're scouting games, watching every collegiate cut up of all these players and really building a database, talking to the coaches, talking to the people around those particular players that you have relationships with, that you know aren't going to, you know, sell you up a river and just tell you what they want to hear to hype their guy up. So a lot of this work is done on the back end, and then when you bring a guy in, you're just looking for the final pieces of the puzzle or to fill in some gaps that you may not have on the player.
How important is that relationship with Jeff Weltman and John Hammond with agents?
Oh, it's crucial. It's a big part of the job. I mean, you want to have the ability, whether it's in the draft process, to be able to get guys in and then, you know, get them to do things you want to see. And then on the other end of the process is when we come to free agency. You want to be able to at least have guys hear your pitch, bring them into the city, or, you know, at least go out to dinner, as many of these things are done now where players are being signed literally at midnight as soon as it's made available. So you want them to at least be able to hear your pitch, and when it comes close, you know, you hope you have the relationship to convince a player, hey, look, this is a stable situation here in Orlando. Jeff and John are two great guys with tons of league experience. This is where you want to be.
Is that why perception of your organization is so important too? Because when they are having those meetings, that when agents go into a meeting with Jeff and John, they know their history, they know what they're capable of, and they know what kind of ship they run. When they're trying to direct an 18 or 19 year old guy in a certain spot, is that why that's so important too?
No, it's crucial. You want to know, one, that you have stability, so that way the front office that is there is going to be there throughout the duration of the contract, because that's important. As we know, when you sign a certain guy, he's your guy, and then the next GM or president of basketball operations may not view him the same way. So you want stability. It also helps if guys have a track record, because you could say, oh, you know, I've done business with Jeff and John in the past. They're men of their word. I trust what they say. What they're going to promise is what they're actually going to deliver on. So all that helps, and that's why I think the Orlando Magic are in such a good position now with the long track records of not only Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, but now also on the coaching side with Steve Clifford. These guys have been around. They know what they're doing, and they have a trust factor built both with players and with agents.
Let's talk about Steve Clifford. That's a perfect transition to where I was going to go next. A lot of people asked Trae Young today about what Steve Clifford did with Kemba Walker. Now, part of that is Kemba's own work ethic and how involved and how committed he was in Charlotte. But that goes to show how important that whoever is picked at number six for the Orlando Magic, whether it's Kevin Knox, Trae Young, anyone else who comes in here throughout the course of these workouts, that relationship that they have with Steve Clifford and the bond that they set going forth now and into the summer is so important come training camp in late September and preseason, isn't it?
No, definitely. And that's the great part about Steve Clifford as he's talking to these guys. One, we've seen already in what they've said to the media after Orlando signed him that guys like Kemba Walker, Marvin Williams, etc. are willing to go to bat and talk very highly of Steve Clifford as a head coach. Part two of that is, as Clifford's talking to these prospects and getting ready, he has a track record of success with both point guards, as we mentioned, aforementioned Kemba Walker there, and then big men. You look at Rashard Lewis, Dwight Howard, you know, perennial success with big guys as well. So Steve Clifford's shown he's able to develop and get the most out of players, both in the front court and the back court. And then if you're a draft prospect, you feel very comfortable going wherever an Orlando team is and maybe get an extra workout with a guy who may not have considered your franchise before.
I'm willing to do whatever. I mean, Coach hasn't planned for me. I know he's coached Kemba. He built a lot what Kemba does. I mean, he made Kemba into an all-star. And that's a goal that I want to be someday. My main goal is a win. And I know Coach Clifford is all about winning. And this organization is all about winning. I know that's what they want to get it back to. And I know that's first and foremost what I'll be worried about.
Going off of that, what's next for the Magic? They have guys coming in later this week, and Anthony Simons, the local kid, is one of them. Joel Berry, a kid that Jeff Turner got to coach a lot during his time here. But how many more of these workouts will the Magic have over the next 2 weeks? I mean, because certainly now they have to be having conversations about their pick, about potential other picks that they could have. But what is the next process for Jeff Weltman and John Hammond?
Well, that's interesting, because not all of these interviews and workouts will be made available to the media. So you have to really read into why are they doing it. You know, they could, there's a whole different spectrum there. A lot of these guys that are brought in are good local stories, and they're made public because they may be doing a favor for an agent, or they may be helping these guys out. You look at Kevin Knox, you look at Joel Berry, you look at Simons. They're all great local stories, and the local media really appreciate the opportunity that I'll have there. But there's also going to be workouts behind the scenes that aren't put out to us, and they may be various reasons. You may see a second workout with Trae Young that may not be broadcasted. You may have other guys coming in who are being projected around the sixth overall pick that don't get made available. So it'll be a real interesting process for Jeff and John. But like I said, a lot of the homework has already been done. The board is probably already set in a fashion where they're choosing between just a few guys. And then ultimately making the decision, do we stay at six, do we move up, do we move back? Those will be conversations and scenarios they play out, as well as something that Jeff Weltman mentioned when we were in Chicago, really trying to project what the first five picks are going to look like. Because as he said, it's not a draft where it's really clear. You have an idea of what the batch of guys are that are going to go, but you don't necessarily know the order. So they're going to have to work on all those scenarios, and they play it out over and over and over again. So when draft night comes, there's no surprise.
And that's a good point, because if you remember last year's draft, 1 through 6, really 1 through 7 went about chalk. It went how everyone thought it would be. This draft is not that way. I mean, there's even questions about who's going to go in the top 3, who's going to go in the top 4, if teams will move around. But you brought up a good point. This is good to remember that last year guys came in for multiple workouts, and there are more than just one workout. This is just a base level, getting to know them, getting to see what they're like, and then those conversations continue to evolve if there are interests in both parties.
No, definitely. And that's why it's not just the workout, it's not just the interview in the facility. These guys, let's be honest, they're being evaluated from the second they're picked up in the car to the second they leave. They do dinners to really try to get the guy out of the normal comfort zone of, here's question A, how are you going to respond? Let's try to observe how a player behaves. How does he treat the waiting staff? You know, all these things are being evaluated. That's why it's really tough on some of these young kids, because you have to remember, they're maybe 19, 18 years old, and being evaluated on millions of dollars of decision-making here. So, yeah, I always wonder how much that really goes into it. Is it a big part? Is it minimal? Or is a lot of the decision-making already made, is my view of it, and this is just the icing or the last piece of the puzzle?
Now, we're kind of done with this pod. I've asked all the questions I have for you. I do have one more question. Last time we spoke to you on this pod, the Savages were without air conditioning, and last week that was fine. We got a lot of rain. It wasn't an overly hot week. I want to know, do the Savages have air conditioning now?
Yes, we do.
That's good. That's good.
It is a very good thing.
We weren't hotboxing in your house, were you?
No. We were projected with an air-conditioned date of June 4th, which would have been Monday. However, due to the grace of the air-conditioning gods, we got it last week, I believe last Thursday or Friday, and the air-conditioned got pumped and on just before I hopped on the Two Random Guys podcast who cover some of the NBA. And so by the time that I was on that podcast, they actually asked me about this air conditioning, and I was able to proudly say had air conditioning as I was sitting there and watching some of the NBA games. Otherwise, I might not have hopped on that podcast, or if I did, I would have been remote and perhaps from the Magic offices.
Take me through your emotions the second you heard it kick on.
There's really not a better feeling in the world. I know some people talk about childs being born.
It shows how spoiled we are here,
day,
that we have air conditioning.
Got married. No. If you live in Florida and you don't have air conditioning, when you hear that air conditioning kick on, that is the best moment in your life.
Okay, the best moment for OrlandoMagic.com is still happening. It's happening with a lot of draft coverage. Josh Cohen, I know he was putting up strength and weaknesses of players as we speak. What all's up on OrlandoMagic.com right now?
We really have a great fundamental rotation of different types of content. So if you come there right now, John Denton is usually writing the story, covering each visit, detailing it to its fullest, and giving you a feature background on each player. Josh Cohen is breaking down the strengths and weaknesses of each prospect as they come in and doing that in a very detailed basis. As we know, Josh has been working on this the entire season.
You know, this is the final piece of the puzzle for him.
You
know the crazy thing about that? You mentioned, I was talking to him today, and he's like, yeah, I was looking back at some of the strengths and weaknesses I've put up with players in the past, and this is how much this guy beats himself up over this content that he produces. He's like, I wish I would have written that better. This year, I knew how to write it. I knew what I wanted to do, and I was like, Josh, you pump out more content than anybody else I know. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You do great work. But that just shows how committed Josh Cohen is to putting out a quality product.
No, and I know there are some people out there who literally will just look at, oh, this is what this draft website says about that, and I'm just going to recreate it, except now Josh is actually watching every one of these guys and coming up with his own opinions. So he's really doing a detailed dive, spends countless hours. The man's a machine, and I'm fortunate enough to be around him as he's doing it, so that way I could build my own perspectives, you know, as well as talking to people around the league. So you'll have those. And then in addition, from our video department, we'll not only have some of the interviews up, but there'll also be little breakdowns of their workouts and things along those lines, as well as some talking to Jonathan Isaac that we did, because I asked him yesterday, I said, every guy I talk to in this draft class seems to know you in some fashion. How many of these prospects do you actually know? And he said, just about all of them. So really good to get his take on that. We'll have that interview up here shortly as well. So it's really going to be flowing in hot and heavy with a lot of content as we get to this draft on June 21st.
Speaking of Jonathan Isaac, before we close this off, I would be remiss if we didn't bring up that we chatted with him yesterday, and one of the things that he said was, you know, the first season was tough for him. He dealt with a lot of ankle injuries, and that's one thing that he's really focused on this offseason. He said they have a whole machine that they put his ankle in just to strengthen those. But the more encouraging thing was how committed he's been, because he knows this summer between his rookie season and a sophomore campaign is so important that he has literally been in the gym Monday through Thursday every single week at about 8:30 getting shots up, getting in the weight room. And that, if you're an Orlando Magic fan, is what you really like to hear, that you have a young player who's committed to making himself better.
The scary part about it, and it's a good thing for this Orlando Magic organization, is I almost feel like I've seen Jonathan Isaac more this offseason than I did during the season.
Yeah.
He's literally been in the building every day that I've been in there. He pops his head in the communication office usually after his workout just to say hello to everybody. You know, he is really enveloping himself into this Orlando Magic organization. When you talk about players that you want to be cornerstone pieces and be model examples of your franchise, Jonathan Isaac is delivering on his end. One, he's setting the tone. He's in here working out every day. And if you've watched a lot of the fellow rookie, you know, that he came in with, whether it be Wes Iwundu, and then some of the G League guys that have come through here, Rodney Purvis, Jamel Artis, they've also been coming in with him. So the Magic's real young group is putting in its work every day. And then Isaac's, you know, he's doing the little things too. He comes in, says hello to various people in the office, goes up, talks to Jeff and John about, you know, prospects. He's doing every little detail that's asked of him, and you only hope that it really translates on the court next season.
I was going to say, it's not just everything off the court, it's also on the court. He surprised yesterday a youth camp. His brother was in that youth camp, and that wasn't the only reason he was there. But, you know, so many of these guys, they do their media availability and they want to leave. There was a camera crew that was, and this is just going to show his character and what type of person he is. There's a camera crew yesterday that was late, and they barely caught the tail end of it, and they were worried that they weren't going to get him. Jonathan Isaac went out of his way to make sure that he told them he didn't have a problem staying around to do a one-on-one with them. That shows what type of character he is. Guys that are picked in the top five of the draft who've just had 1 year, they don't do that type of stuff. They don't interact with people that way. Jonathan Isaac does all those things the right way.
Yeah, I won't mention where he had to go because, you know, I'll respect his privacy. But, you know, he had some place to be, too. And, you know, the camera crew was worried. They had just missed it. And it wasn't like he just did a two-minute media session.
No, it was
He was about 15 minutes of answering questions. It felt like one of those finals post-game press conferences that just goes on and on. And he had literally answered everything about camps to the season to draft prospects. And then he went and did it again for one specific camera crew. So just goes to say what kind of guy he is. And my favorite story from the camp process was, you know, he was surprising the camps, and I'm sure that's why he brought his brother and entered him in that camp. But the best story of that is his brother is in the camp, young kid, and he's telling people, I'm Jonathan Isaac's brother, and nobody's believing him. So in the Q&A session that the kids had with Jonathan Isaac, his brother raises his hand. He's like, Jonathan, are we related? It's just a great, you know, feel-good moment. And, you know, Isaac joked around with him, you know, basically said yes, but stopped showing off. And it was just a fun, funny moment amongst, you know, the innocence of kids. And great guy. Nothing but good things to say about him.
Yeah, it's his little brother, Jeremiah. So that's fun. We'll have more of these throughout the course of the summer. The draft is coming up. We'll also have some coaches on throughout the course of the summer leading up to the NBA draft. That'll come on this podcast as well, right before the June 21st NBA draft. Just a reminder, we will have a draft show. It'll be on 96.9. Dante will host that, along with David Steele, Dennis Newman, and myself. But, Dan, this has been a lot of fun. I love doing these with you.
And I'm still trying to find a way to get on that draft show. I just want well, 2 minutes of time.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We don't have to show your face, so maybe that's best. We'll just have your voice.
It is best.
But we'll also have to figure out where we're going to do the traveling pod next, because this is the third location as many podcasts. Maybe we'll actually do one from a studio sometime. Probably not. But that'll do it for us here on the Magic Drive Time podcast. Check back more. If you want to subscribe or rate this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. All you have to do is go to iTunes, search Orlando Magic Radio. We'll be up there. You can also find us on SoundCloud as well as Google Play. We're trying to get on Spotify, but Spotify is really difficult with who they select as podcast. So maybe one day we'll be good enough for
you
that.
You should talk to me. I know somebody at Spotify.
You know someone at Spotify?
I mean, if it involves putting myself on Spotify, we'll get it done pretty fast.
Okay, well, talk to you guys at Spotify. I think the listeners, the masses, would greatly appreciate it.
Make it easier for my playlist.
But that does it for us here on the Magic Drive Time podcast. Check back next week.